Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Now, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
I will be reading in Psalms 139, starting in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. And now I'll be moving to verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well.
I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and that we shall walk in them. Now I'll be reading in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
I will be reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Thank you, students. I'd like to take an opportunity to introduce our speaker tonight, the young man that now is a father and husband and a pastor in Sunray, Texas. I watched Cecile grow up in my home church when I was in my early 20s. He was just a little boy. And then when he graduated from high school, his fiancée, Rachel, came and went to Tech. And so they moved here, and Seth served here in our church for many years. And then, of course, went on into the ministry and has done some great things. God's made a great leader out of him. And I thought it appropriate to ask him maybe to give the seniors a challenge tonight. And seniors, he has something in common with you. He did graduate eighth grade. And so... But Seth's done well, and he's got a thriving church in Sunray, Texas, and so we want to give him a good welcome, okay?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate Brother Downer having me, or Chris. Well, it's not a church service. Chris, for having me, and I appreciate this church and the staff also for having me, and congratulations. It's a big deal. It's a big deal, and I remember being relieved when they told me I passed. And I just want to encourage you. I don't really want to preach as much as I just want to talk to you as a friend and as someone that's been where you've been. And every story is different, I know. And so I just want to encourage you. I want to read you just a couple of verses out of Luke 15. It says, and he said, talking of Jesus in verse 11, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. And not many days, listen to what he did. The younger son gathered all that he had. He took a journey into a far country. Now, this is a story about a young person just like you, that who is about to gather his stuff, and he's about to take a journey. And he's about to go to a far country, which is a place he's never been. We all have a far country in our mind that we dream about, and it's not at home, right? It's not at home. It's a better place than home. Matter of fact, it's a more exciting place than home. It's a place of fun. It's a place worth the journey to get to. And there's nothing wrong with you having dreams. There's nothing wrong with the desire to leave your parents' home. That's the way it should be. And if you're 30 living with your parents, that's not the direction I think you should go. It's good that you want to leave. But yeah. But here's the problem. The problem is this far country, whether it be college or a career or whatever it is you're going to do, you've never been there. And you've never been there alone. And so you have no idea how to prepare for that. And none of us did. It's not to belittle you. None of us knew what it was going to be like at college. I didn't go to college. I enjoyed college, but I didn't go. My wife went to college, and I just hung out with all her buddies. But what I want to do, because we don't know, we come up with these preconceived ideas of what we think it's going to be like in this far country where we're going. And a lot of what we think is true, it is fun. And it's a good day to wake up and not have to go to school. So a lot of what we think is true. But there are some misconceptions of the far country that I want to share with you tonight, just briefly. And so let's look at the myths of the far country in the sense that wherever you're going, we tend to fantasize and overlook some realities, similar as what the guy in our story did. And so the first thing that we all do, there's nothing wrong with it, but it is wrong, and that is in our far country, we think that we can be successful without submitting to authority. I'm going to say that again. In our far country, we think that when we get there, we can be successful without submitting to authority. This young guy said, in my fireplace, no one's going to tell me what to do. I mean, I'm going to wake up when I want to wake up. I'm going to come home when I want to come home. I'm going to hang out with who I want to hang out with. I'm going to have tattoos of what I want to have tattoos of. No more rules. If I want to eat pizza naked on the couch, I'm going to do it. I'm talking about real freedom. No one laughed when I said that. It scared me, so thank you. I mean, that's real freedom. Come on. Try it. You'll know what I'm talking about. You can live this way. You can live this way of a mentality, and a lot of people do, of that no one's going to tell me what to do. As a matter of fact, the guy in the story, he was tired of his dad telling him what to do. He was tired of authority over him. But here's a reality for you. There's never going to come a day where someone won't tell you what to do. There never comes a place in time where you don't have to submit to authority. Kobe Bryant, who I'm realizing now as I get older, y'all probably don't even know who that is, is a great basketball player. He had a lot of talent. He had trouble with his coach named Phil Jackson. He just could not make himself listen to Phil Jackson. After all, he was very talented. He came to the place in his life where he realized, if I'm going to be successful, I'm going to have to submit to authority. And so he submitted to Phil Jackson's coaching, and the rest is history. Professors are going to tell you what to do. Your bosses are going to tell you what to do. If you get married, your wife is going to tell you what to do. Bill collectors will tell you what to do. Policemen are going to tell you what to do. The point is this. This guy thought, in his better place, in this faraway place, I'm going to do what I want. And that's not a reality. It is in the sense if you don't want to be successful. But if you want to be successful, at least honor the position if you don't like the person and submit to that position. So that's the first misconception of a far country, is that you can be successful without submitting to authority. Here's the second one. By the way, I failed in all these when I was your age. When I got that Nokia phone, I thought I was it. Y'all remember the Nokia phone? Come on. The second misconception is, in my far country, or the place wherever you're going that's not at home, is that I can be successful without hard work. The guy in our story did exactly what I did when I was your age. I just thought that where I was going, work was not going to be involved. I just thought things were just going to click. I had the kind of mentality where 42 of us could get together, rent an apartment for $24 a piece. We'll never have to work. It'll just be Party Central all the time. And I've done that. But here's what I found out. Even to get by takes a lot of hard work. Right, parents? Just to get by takes a lot of hard work. So don't believe for a second that where you're going, whether it's college or a career or whatever you're doing, that I'm going to be successful without hard work, because that's not a reality. It takes hard work at everything you do. The Bible says, everything you do, do it to the honor and the glorifying of the Lord. You might be here like I was at your age and thinking, you know what, I'll just win the lottery. And here's what you learn with people with money. If you won the lottery, let's just say you won $200 million, do you realize the amount of work it would take to manage that money? You say, well, I'm willing to put in the time because I know what I'd be doing with it. It would be a full-time job. You have to work no matter whether you have money or not. It takes hard work in order to be a success. This guy in our story, just similar as me, in his far country, for some reason, I just didn't equate that there would be work involved. And I was surprised. When they turn your electricity off in your apartment when your parents are over watching Monday Night Football, and you got to come up with a reason why it's not working, you realize it takes hard work. So you have to submit to authority, whether you like it or not, only if you want to be successful. You have to work hard at everything you do, no matter what the job, no matter if you like it or not, only if you want to be successful. The third thing is, in my far country, I had it in my mind that you could be successful without consequences, in the sense that there would be no consequences to my actions. That's what I really believed. I believed I could live any way I wanted to live, and it would just work out somehow. That's what it is to be young. We all do that. We don't look down the road. See, I thought, I'm going to have it where even if I do blow all my money, it'll work out somehow. And to tell you how old I am is when the PlayStation 1 came out. My first paycheck, I went and got the PlayStation 1 and missed paying some bills. But I thought it'd work out. Well, it doesn't. If I'm late to class or miss class, it'll all work out. It's all good. I can party and still get by. I can sleep around with who I want to because that's just the way the culture is now. I can play now and pay later. It'll all work out. I can do enough to get by, not listen to anyone, and it'll just be fine. I know it is. I know it will. I just need to get away from here. But the Bible tells us this: whatever you plant, you're going to have to harvest. And so keep that in the back of your minds. And here's the fourth thing. And that is, in my far country, that I can be successful and never deal with failure or pain. The reality is that you're going to make bad decisions. The reality is you're going to lose relationships. You're going to lose people that are important to you. There will be promotions that you deserve that you don't get. You won't pass every class. You won't pass every test. Life is not perfect. Life is not fair. And you will have failures, so just anticipate it. You will be surprised by pain, so just anticipate it. The thing is, you can't lay down and quit. You got to keep going. Every successful person deals with failure. Abraham Lincoln failed so many times, it's ridiculous. I didn't even look it up. It was too much work, but I'd have those statistics with you, but I didn't want to fool with it. He just failed a lot before he was the president. Whatever president he was. What was it? Second or third? We have an idea that when we leave to this far country that we've dreamed up, that it's just all going to work out, and that's not reality. There's hardships. Right, parents? There's difficulties, and there's unexpected pain. But you can't stop and let it define you. You got to keep moving forward. Everybody you read about, pro athletes, business people, anybody that does anything with success, despite their talent, despite everything, they had to submit to authority. They had to work hard. They had to overcome failure. And they understood there's consequences to your actions, both good and bad. I want to close with reading the rest of the story. This guy, It's known as the prodigal son. I don't run this guy down for wanting to leave home. You should. There's nothing wrong with wanting to leave and succeed at all. There's nothing wrong with ambition. But he went with the mindset of no work, no authority, no consequences, and no pain. It says this in verse 13, not many days. It don't take long to run out of money. Amen. He gathered all he had. He took a journey into far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. That's the fun part you've dreamed about. By the way, it is fun. Living wild is fun, and the Bible acknowledges that. It is fun, but there's consequences, and there's penalties. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine or drought, or it didn't rain, arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. Now, this surprised him, because this isn't what my far country was supposed to look like. I was supposed to be successful without authority. I was supposed to be successful without pain. I was supposed to be successful without consequences. I was supposed to be successful without hard work. And that got him down eating or thinking about eating with pigs. You say, that's far-fetched. I could tell you some stories about it. When I was your age, you know where my far country was? You're like, I don't care. Well, I'll tell you. It was in Slayton. I came to Slayton, and I thought, this is going to be party central. The cops at the time were corrupt. It was the perfect place. I lived in do you know where the windmill apartments are? All right. Next to them is the brick ones. Are they called the same thing? Okay, that's where my fireplace, that was my place. I had some wicker furniture. Life was going to be good. And so I got set up there one night laying in bed without sheets on it. My bathroom door blew open with water. Under the sink, the water line busted and it was hot water. You couldn't get up to it to turn it off. It was too hot. So I took all the clothes that were in the floor and I threw them under there to divert the water, and I turned it off. Well, there was about an inch of water. I went to bed, because that's what you do when you're young. You don't think about the future. I went to bed. I woke up and the water was gone. I thought, there you go, the Lord provides. I come to church. There was a lady that lived under me, and I believe her name was Anita. She said, did you have some trouble up there? I said, what do you mean? She said, it's my ceiling's caving in. I said, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. To this day, that lady does not know what happened. So he's eating with pigs. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants had more than enough bread? You see, he started to make the connection that submitting to authority has perks. Hard work has perks. There is consequences. There is pain and failure. He says, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father's house, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, I'm not naive. I know that you're not writing these down and you're going to go home and study them. You got your plans. You're going to a far country, and I get it. Just keep these in the back of your mind, because if you ignore them, you're going to end in the same place I did and the same place he did, and that is unsuccessful. But here's some good news. No matter how dark the times, no matter how low life gets, no matter what consequences you're dealing with, you can find the love of a father. He's just a call away, and his name is God. And if you seek God, it leads you to a person. His name is Jesus Christ, who says this, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man gets to him but by me. You seek God, you'll find Jesus, because he died for each of us. And he wants you to be successful. You say, well, how do I know that? Because every principle I've given you comes from other places all throughout Scripture. So you can call on him in those times. And I did at the age of 20 or 21. I don't remember. I have a very bad memory. And he saved me, and he taught me to work hard, to submit to authority. There's consequences to what we do. And although I've experienced failure and pain, he gets me to where he wants me to go. Because like we said in Jeremiah 29, he has a plan. Try it your way. He did. A lot of us did. But that's the way it's going to end. But this is what you do when it ends that way, is you call out to God. Let me leave you with Mark 8:36. In about an hour, I'll get to it. Mark 8:36 says this. It says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world?" That is, what does it mean if you went out and did these things and became successful if you forfeit your soul? That is, you don't see the need for Christ in your life. What then? Thank you so much for listening. You've been attentive. I know you're pretending that you enjoyed this, and I appreciate that because years ago I did. Thank you, Brother Chris, and thank you, church, for having me. Congratulations.
Fantastic. Thank you so very much. In just a moment, we're going to ask Wyatt Harlan to come and close us in a word of prayer. But before so, we want to have one more video.
Hey, you did it. From kindergarten until now, muscling your way through every hard moment, climbing your way up all the mountains that looked